Morning, brothers and sisters, friends and family. It is so wonderful to be here on this Sabbath day for such a wonderful occasion. Super excited to speak with you today. This is probably by far the best talk my mom has ever written. So credits all going to her for this one. I'm just kidding. So I have been assigned to deliver in the Yakima, Washington Spanish-speaking mission, and I am set apart next Sunday to begin my home MGC training that next Monday, and that lasts about a week, and then I fly to Mexico City MGC on October 4th, so I'm super excited, very much looking forward to it. It's going to be such a wonderful time. So today I'm going to be speaking to you guys on a few subjects that all kind of tie together, and they are the importance of ministering, as well as gathering Israel this side of the veil. And the subject turning to that is how we can testify of Christ, how we can minister, magnify our callings, as well as seek good friendships, relationships, and be a good friend and example to everybody else. So we're going to start out with what it means to testify of Christ. The definition of testify in the Guide to the Scriptures is to bear witness by the power of the Holy Ghost, to make a solemn declaration of truth based on personal knowledge or belief. As missionaries, our job is to testify of Christ, to bear our witness that He is our Savior and Redeemer, and that all things are possible through Him. Christ is the center of our religion, and therefore should be the center of our teachings. We are on this earth so that we may live as Christ did, by loving others, by ministering and serving, by keeping the commandments, by staying morally, spiritually, and physically healthy. Magnifying our callings is also a very important part of missionary work. The word magnify is an interesting word. It means to enlarge, to make more clear, to bring closer, and to strengthen. Jacob, the brother of Nephi, in speaking of the call which he and his brother Joseph had received, said, "And we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads, if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence." President Gordon B. Hinckley's talk on magnifying your calling, he says, quote, "To every officer, to every teacher in this church who acts in the priesthood office, there comes the sacred responsibility of magnifying that priesthood calling. Each of us is responsible for the welfare and the growth and development of others. We do not live only unto ourselves. If we are to magnify our callings, we cannot live only unto ourselves. As we serve with diligence, as we teach with faith and testimony, as we lift and strengthen and build convictions of righteousness in those whose lives we touch, we magnify our priesthood to live only unto ourselves. On the other hand, to serve grudgingly, to give less than our best effort to our duty, diminishes our priesthood just as looking through the wrong lenses or binoculars reduces the image and makes more distant the object." Close quote. Jacob says further, "Now, my beloved brethren, according to the responsibility which I am under God to magnify my office with soberness, I declare unto you the word of God. Every missionary, of which we all can be and we all are, has the responsibility to magnify their calling in teaching the plan of God. Every teacher has the responsibility of magnifying their calling in teaching the word of God. Every officer has the responsibility to magnify their calling in teaching the word. Magnifying your church calling anytime and anywhere can be considered as missionary work. As we magnify our callings, we are putting forth 100% effort, which is exactly what our Father in Heaven wants from us. God loves to see effort put forth in our lives to do good, and when we do so, we are blessed. And we are also blessing the lives of others." In Juan A. Huseda's Of the 70s talk, "The Lord Jesus Christ Teaches Us to Minister," he tells a story which kind of has to do with the parable of the lost sheep in Christ ministering and seeking out the lost sheep, leaving the 99 to find the one. And I'm kind of bad at summarizing, so I'm just going to read this story for you guys. It's a very wonderful story, and it's pretty quick, so it won't be too bad. Okay. "My wife, Marie Isabel, and I served in Central America, being stationed in Guatemala City. There I had the opportunity to meet Julie, a faithful member of the church. I had the impression to ask her about her family. Her mother died of cancer in 2011, and her father had been a faithful leader in the stake, serving as a bishop and as a counselor to his stake president for several years. He was a true under-shepherd of the Lord. Julia told me of his tireless efforts to visit, to minister, and to serve. He indeed rejoiced in feeding and tending the precious sheep of the Lord, and he remarried and stayed active in the church. A few years later, he went through a divorce, and now he had to attend church alone once again. He felt out of place and felt that some people were critical of him because of his divorce. He had stopped attending church as a negative spirit filled his heart. Julia spoke highly of this wonderful under-shepherd who was a hard-working, loving, and compassionate man. I vividly remember that a feeling of urgency came to me as she was describing him. I just wanted to do something for that man. A man who had done so much for so many throughout those years. She gave me his cell phone number and I began calling him, hoping to have the chance to meet with him personally. After several weeks and many, many phone calls without success, one day he finally answered the phone. I told him that I had met Julia, his daughter, and that I was captivated by the way she had served, ministered, and loved the precious sheep of the Lord for so many years. He was not expecting a comment like that. I had told him that I really wanted to visit with him eye to eye, face to face. He asked me my purpose in proposing such a meeting, and I replied, "I really want to meet the father of such a wonderful lady." Then for a few seconds, there was silence over the phone. A few seconds, it seemed to me like an eternity. And he simply said, "When and where?" The day I met him, I invited him to share with me some of his experiences visiting, ministering, and serving the precious sheep of the Lord. As he was recounting some touching stories, I noticed that the tone of his voice had changed, and the same spirit that he had felt so many times as an under-shepherd came back. Now his eyes were filled with tears. I knew this was the right moment for me, but I found I did not know what to say. I prayed in my mind, "Father, help me." Suddenly I heard myself saying, "Brother Florian, as a servant of the Lord, I apologize for not being there for you. Please forgive us. Give us another chance to show you that we do love you, that we need you, and that you are important to us." The following Sunday, he was back. He had a long conversation with his bishop and remained active. A few months later, he passed away, but he had come back. He had come back. President Nelson has said a hallmark of the Lord's true living church will always be an organized, directed effort to minister to individual children of God and their families. Because it is his church, we as his servants will minister to the one just as he did. We will minister in his name, with his power and authority, and with his loving kindness. The past couple months, I had recently had the opportunity to do home visiting and teaching with Brother Reed Carlson as my companion. And as we visited members of the ward, I learned something very important, and that is that missionary work isn't always just about the numbers and about the baptizing, about all the conversions. That always comes with it. That's a very important part. But one of the biggest things that I believe is part of missionary work is just being a friend to all, ministering to the one, visiting with people, giving somebody a smile, saying hello to somebody, just kind, everyday things like that. That is one really big part of missionary work. And it's something that we can all improve on, even myself, but it's a very wonderful thing. And I would urge all of you guys to participate in something like that the following weeks. And so we're gonna move on to why it is important to have good friends and good examples in our lives. I asked myself that question, and my answer to that was because having friends who treat you with respect, who love you and care about you and who are good examples, and want nothing more but for you to be happy is what makes or breaks a person's life. The way they choose to think and act and to treat others is also affected. And the same goes for our family members as well. Those of you with siblings, younger or older, respect them, love them, and be good examples to them. And they will always be here for you when your friends are scarce. And they've grown up with you, they know you better than most other people, and they are truly an incredible blessing to have. So be a good example to them. Next is to love and respect your parents. They do everything for you. They want nothing but for you to be happy and successful in this life. And they love us more than we can ever know until we have the opportunity of having children grow up someday. And that's a very wonderful blessing to have. And the same goes for our heavenly parents as well. They love us very much. They want to see us successful. They want to see us happy. They want us to be with them for all time and eternity to have the gift of eternal happiness, which is the greatest gift that God has given us. It's also important to love everyone and be a friend to all ourselves. And this is because it's how we can be most like Jesus Christ on this earth. Anyone and everyone deserves a friend, somebody that they can rely on and trust. Showing love towards others can only benefit this world and builds relationships, which is the most wonderful and important thing on this earth. Through my school experiences from the last many years leading up to now, the biggest lesson that I learned was to get to know somebody before you judge them negatively. Every single time that I made judgment towards somebody and actually have the liberty to meet that person, my judgments were always wrong, every single time. Jacob chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Wherefore, how much better are you than they in the sight of your great Creator? Take Heavenly Father and Christ's example and love everyone regardless of who they are, how they act, where they're from. No good comes from negative thoughts or actions towards others. And if you show kindness to someone, they will show kindness back and you will see them for who they truly are." This, in my opinion, is what missionary work is all about. Being a friend and an example, a leader, a learner, and a true disciple of Jesus Christ. To love as he did, to gather Israel in these last days. Brothers and sisters, I'm so very grateful to be speaking to you today. I'm so very grateful for my wonderful parents and for them leading me up to where I am now, to want to serve a mission for the Lord. And they've done everything for me, and I'm so, so very grateful for that. So grateful for all my wonderful siblings and for their example to me. They don't know it, but I truly do love them so, so very much, and they have been such examples to me. So grateful to have them in my lives. So grateful for this wonderful ward. You guys have all been so amazing to me growing up, and I couldn't ask for a better ward family. You guys are all incredible. It's only kindness that I feel, kindness and love here, and that's what's most important to feel in this sacred room and in this wonderful neighborhood. I'm also so grateful for all my friends who have helped inspire me and be examples to me to want to serve mission. So, so grateful for them. They have done so much more than me than they can ever imagine. So grateful for my good friend Lucas. He's always been there for me. I've grown up alongside that guy, and he's been a great example to me. I'm so excited for his willingness to serve mission. So grateful for my good friend Porter Harrison. He can't be here today. He's also speaking for a farewell talk. He's leaving about the same time as me, but I've been friends with him as long as I can know. And he's helped keep me on the straight now. He's helped keep me an honest and good person, and I'm so very grateful for him. So grateful for my good friend Caden. He can't be here today, but we became friends recently, and he's just taught me to kind of live life to the fullest and to try new things and to be a better example and to just love everybody. I'm so grateful for him. Lastly, so grateful for my good buddy Liam Nelson. He can't be here. But he actually changed my life in such a big way. He got me a job at Quick White Car Wash in Springville. That job has actually changed my life more than you guys would think. A lot of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that job, because I made a lot of friends there. And so truly grateful for him and for that wonderful thing that he did for me. So, brothers and sisters, I'm so very grateful for all of you guys and for all of your support. And I'd like to kind of bear my testimony to you and my somewhat broken Spanish today. I had to write it down just in case, so. Creo en Dios, el Padre Eterno, y en su Hijo Jesucristo. Sé que Cristo sufrió y murió para que nuestros pecados puedan ser perdonados y que nosotros podamos resucitar. Quiero a mi familia y a mis amigos. Estoy agradecido por ellos. Sé que esta es la verdadera iglesia y que estoy llamado a servir a la maravillosa gente de Washington y Oregon. Estoy agradecido por mi hermano y estoy agradecido por todos ustedes. Los quiero mucho a todos. Estas cosas aquí, en el nombre de nuestro Salvador, Jesucristo. Amén.
Amén.